You know, we have the great opportunity from time to time to meet individuals that God is using to bring his gospel to this community. And it's such a blessing. The missions committee had determined that through the summer, from time to time, we will have missionaries come in. And just as Acts chapter 1 says, that it'll be from Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the uttermost parts of the world. And so they decided they wanted to start with Jerusalem, which is right here in Buncombe County, Asheville. And they wanted to invite somebody that God is using in a very special and powerful way to bring children to Christ. This is Jason Beverly. This is somebody that God has used in wonderful ways since 2010, I believe, in this ministry of bringing the gospel to children. And I'm not going to go into a lot of detail right now because I know that he will, and I don't want to steal his thunder. But it is our blessing to have Jason here with us and his family in this worship service. Let me also say that over the years, Jason has been used by the Lord to bless this congregation over and over again. For 8 years, he led our vacation Bible school here in Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church. And there are still people in this community that remember those tremendous times, those tremendous Bible schools, vacation Bible schools that he led. So we are just so pleased and so fortunate to have him here with us. So Jason, I'm going to ask you if you would to come and to bring your gospel message to us.
Thank you. Appreciate it. God bless you. Thank you. It is indeed a pleasure to be with you this morning. My oldest son, JJ, couldn't be here this morning, and he said, "Dad, would you mind putting your message on Facebook so I can see it, so I can listen in?" So that's what the phone is. The phone is for my son, JJ. So, JJ, hopefully you're watching this. Special message to him. Would you mind if we just go ahead and open in a word of prayer? Father, thank you for today. Lord, I'm reminded of the song that says, "This is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I will enter into his gates with thanksgivings of praise. I will enter his courts with praise. I will say, this is the day that the Lord has made, for he has made me glad." Lord, thank you that the battle belongs to you. And we give this message and this time together to you. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 17. And while you're turning there, I'm going to just give you a brief update on the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. It was interesting. In Sunday school this morning, we were doing a quick overview of the ministry of Child Evangelism Fellowship. And we took a little trip down memory lane. And one of the things that I was reminded of is the vacation Bible schools that we had here about for 8 years, and I believe that was about 10 or so years ago that we had, that we were actually been less than that, but it's been a long time, and it's really neat to see the growth here at Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church, to see new faces, to see some families and things like that. So it's wonderful to see the growth and how the Lord is blessing you. And it's a privilege to be with you. Thank you for playing the piano. Good to see you, by the way. Good to see you. And playing the organ. You know, our pianist recently went to be with the Lord. And so that's actually where my son Joshua is this morning. He's actually leading the music at my little church at Waynesville Christian Fellowship. That's why he couldn't be with us today. But we have missed the piano and we've missed the organ being played. And we appreciate you guys doing that. We appreciate your singing. We appreciate the old hymns of the faith. There's nothing like them. In fact, I might read one this morning. We'll see. But that's what I grew up on, was the old hymns of the faith, and we greatly appreciate that. Since we have come here and taught the vacation Bible schools, we started with another ministry called the After School Good News Club, where we get to go into the public schools and tell boys and girls about Jesus. And we're super excited to be able to do that and to report, you know, since we started, we had zero. And we were looking in Sunday school, and in 2000, I think it was in 21, we launched our very first after-school Good News Club. And I think that was in 2021, and that was with Ronnie at Johnston Elementary. And since then, since 2021, I can say by God's grace, we have 28 after-school Good News Clubs in the public schools. Now, in addition to that, we have a Good News Club in a mental facility, a mentally handicapped facility, and we've just started our first GNC, Granny, or GGNC, Granny Good News Club, where we go into the senior citizens' homes and we minister to senior citizens. And that's the first one, as far as I know, that's the first one that has ever been done in Child Evangelism Fellowship. Child Evangelism Fellowship is around the world. It's in over 200 countries. And you are a very real part of this ministry. As you pray for us, as you support us, as your partners with us in the ministry, you're a very real part of that ministry. I'm so excited to have two of my sons with me today. And then, of course, there's also Joshua as well. And in the back, I actually have one of a few of our newsletters. If you'd like to take one and pray for us, we would greatly appreciate it. This year, we have 15 five-day clubs that are planned throughout Buncombe County, Haywood County, Jackson, Henderson County. And so we have 15 planned with 6 more in the works. So imagine teaching 20 to 21 vacation Bible schools in the summertime. That's about what the equivalent is of what we do. We reach roughly 300 to 400 children through the course of a summer. But we also have a very special thing that's happening this year. We're taking a trip to Honduras as a family, and there's actually room for a few more people, August 10th through the 19th. And so if any of you are interested in an overseas missions trip to Honduras, there's some information back there about that. But it's really neat to see how the Lord opened up that door for us. I was sharing in Sunday school, and I'm going to repeat this because it's just so good. The last time someone came here from Child Evangelism Fellowship, it was a brother by the name of Hunt Keith. And I was not able to be here. I think I got my dates mixed up or something like that. And I called up my dear friend Hunt. I said, Hunt, could you please come to the Saints at Malvern Hills Presbyterian Church? He said, I'd love to. And he came and he was able to share here. But last May, we were planning this trip to Honduras. But we were planning it for last year. And Hunt said to me, he said, Jason, it's not God's timing yet. You remember that verse? He makes all things beautiful in his time. And he was right. It was not God's timing for us to go to Honduras. The Lord had opened up a door for us to be able to go there. But Hunt said to me, I feel it in my spirit. It's not God's time. And then I had Nancy called me and said, Jason, don't go to Honduras. It's not God's time. And then I had Hunt's wife say, Jason, it's not God's time. I said, all right, okay, I surrender. And what's so exciting, Joshua and I, my oldest son Joshua and I, went on a missions trip in March of this year to Honduras. And when we got into the van, out of the airport, Pastor Giovanni looked at me and said, it's God's time. That was like the first words he said to me. And I told them, I said, you have no idea what that means to me. To say that it's God's timing for us to be here. You see, May of last year, when Hunt told me it's not God's timing, I did not know that Hunt was on his way to glory. Hunt had had numerous miniature tumors in his head, in his brain. And he was diagnosed in late May, and he was with the Lord in September. So God has his perfect timing and perfect plan for everything that happens in our lives. When Joshua and I got to go to Honduras and we were talking to the saints there in Honduras, one of the pastors said to me, would you, me, disciple us? I said, well, let me see what I can do. So we came back to the States and we began to pray and we began to pray for our trip in August and what the Lord would have us to do. And one of the things the Lord laid on our hearts to do is to have a small Bible conference with the saints in Honduras and also to share with them about the after-school Good News Club and to establish 8 Good News Clubs in Honduras. So we are partnering with the local CEF chapter in order to be able to do that. We're providing commentaries for all of the pastors. William McDonald's commentary. The reason I picked William McDonald is because that's the one that I grew up with, and it was given to me when I was 14. I said, that seems like a pretty good one. I guess I'll go with that one. I recently had a brother say, that's an old commentary, but it's a good one. So we'll be having that. We'll have him being a soccer match, and we'll be inviting the community to come partake in a meal with us and have a soccer match with all of the schools that will be a part of the after school or the Good News Club. And we'll be feeding them. We'll be sharing the gospel with them. We'll be having people go around that we've trained. The pastors go around sharing the gospel with the children and the parents. And then we'll also have everything will be shut down in the middle, and we'll have a gospel presentation that we'll share with the children. And so we're very excited about what God is doing in Honduras. The president of Honduras made the comment. He said, I want the Bible taught in every school in Honduras. And I'm excited about that. We actually have a contact. Pray that the Lord will help us to be able to get in touch with the president, because we do have a contact with him. So just be in prayer that the Lord would show us and the Lord would direct our steps in the ministry of Honduras. And if you're interested in coming and being a part of that, by all means, please let me know. I'd be glad to talk with you more about that. Now, with the remainder of our time, I'd like to share with you an exciting message. Have you ever noticed in our world and in our time in which we live, it seems like Satan is trying, and the world is trying to lull us to sleep? You know, we hear these things at college like, well, truth is relevant. And things like that, they're almost kind of like an antidote or a drug that kind of lulls the Christian to sleep. Well, you believe this, you believe that. I think of the old movie of Fiddler on the Roof, where Tevye he's saying, well, you're right. And then he says to the other guy, well, you're right too. And then a third person says, wait a minute, he's right and he's right. They both can't be right. And Tevye says, you are also right. And the reminder to me is that's the way the world kind of rocks us to sleep. Kind of gives us a desire to think, well, okay, this is okay, this really isn't that bad, and it just it's terrible. It kind of lulls the Christian to sleep. But the Bible tells us that we are a part of a very real battle. And there are three things, these are my 3 points that hopefully I'll get through this morning. We'll see. Three things that you need in your battle, in your spiritual battle. Number one, you need a captain. You need someone to follow. Number two, you need a banner, something to rally behind. And number three, you need strength to fight the battle. Interestingly enough, those 3 points that I mentioned are all names and titles for God. And in our first passage, in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 47, we're reminded of the great story of David and Goliath. And David makes this statement in 1 Samuel 17, verse 47. It says, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves, not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hands. The title of this message is The Battle Belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to me. It doesn't belong to the president. It belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. As soldiers, we need his help. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is as a roaring lion, walking around, seeking whom he may devour. The good news is that we have a commander-in-chief. We have someone that we can take our words from. We can know that we're supposed to go, where we're supposed to go, what we're supposed to do. Because if you are a soldier without a captain, you don't know the mission that God has, or the mission your commander has for you. And so we have a heavenly commission. And that's our first point. Go back with me to verse 45. Of 1 Samuel. 17, verse 45. It says this. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and a spear and a javelin, But I come to you in the name of Yahweh, or the Lord of hosts, the God of the battle line, of the battle lines of Israel, whom you have reproached. And then it says, this day Yahweh will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you down and remove your head from you. It's interesting, in your Bibles, perhaps you've noticed, and your Bible might just say Lord, but if you look in your Bible, it probably says capital L-O-R-D. And whenever in your Bible you see the word Lord, especially in the Old Testament, with a capital L-O-R-D, it means Yahweh. Yahweh. When Moses came to the Lord and the burning bush, and he said, What name shall I say he sent me? He said, Yahweh, I am that I am. A very sacred name of God. So here we actually have two names of God in one verse. Yahweh, and then the second one, the captain of the Lord of hosts. As David is waiting there to fight Goliath, David is reminded of Joshua. He's reminded, turn with me, if you will, in your Bibles, to Joshua. I believe it's chapter 5. Yes, Joshua chapter 5. And as you're turning there, I want to share with you this second name, this name that David calls out, the captain of the Lord of hosts. In Hebrew, it's Lord Sabaoth. Now you might say, Lord Sabaoth, the seventh day Sabbath? No, the Lord of the Sabbath? No, this is Sabaoth. It's a different word, and it means the captain of the Lord of hosts. You know that song. A mighty fortress is our God. The second verse says, did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. Were not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that might be? Lord Sabaoth is he, captain of the Lord of hosts. They couldn't say all that in the song, so they just put Sabaoth. Luther just put Sabaoth. From age to age the same, and he must win the battle. So Joshua chapter 5 and verse 13, Joshua is getting ready to go and to take Jericho. And before he goes to take Jericho, he sees this man with a sword in his hand. And they have this conversation in Joshua chapter 5, verses 13 and 14. Now it happened when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man was standing opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, are you for us or for our adversaries? And he said, no, rather indeed I came now as commander of the host of Yahweh. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and bowed down and said to him, what has my Lord said to say to his slave? The commander of the host of Yahweh said to Joshua, remove your sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy. And Joshua did so. You see, this man, the captain of the Lord of hosts, this is where the phrase first appears in the Bible. And Joshua knew, when he went and spoke to the captain of the Lord of hosts, he knew that he was in trouble, because he said, are you for us or for his enemies? Because he thought, well, if you know, it's for his enemies, yeah, that's a bad thing. But if he's for us, well, that's a good thing. But see, we get that mixed up. When we come to the Lord, do we say, Lord, are you on our side? When in reality, what should we be saying? Lord, are we on your side? Because we can't do anything without him. We need to be on his side. How often do we times, Lord, bless us. Lord, do this for us. Do this. And yes, we want God's blessing. But the way that we get God's blessing is being on his side of the battle and saying, Lord, can we join you? And notice what Joshua says, the commander of the Israelite army. I am your slave. And what does he do? He falls at his feet. He realizes who he's standing before. And what does he do? He takes off his sandals. That is the exact thing that Moses did. When he came into the presence of God, he fell down before God and he took off his sandals because he realized he was in the place of the Almighty God. And he took off his sandals because why? He was standing on holy ground. All right, going back to 1 Samuel 7, verse 45. We see that David, I'm going to read that verse again. You come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, Lord Sabaoth, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. My, the world has defiled the name of God. And we need to stand up for it. We need to stand up for the things that are right, the things that are pure. We need to stand against abortion and homosexuality because the Bible clearly teaches about those things, the sanctity of life. And as we see God give us victory after victory, what are we to do? Are we to look to ourselves and say, what a great job we did, and pat ourselves on the back? Absolutely not. Turn with me, if you will, to Psalm 24, verse 10. Psalm 24, verse 10. Now, this is an amazing psalm because David wrote this psalm. And as David wrote this psalm, something amazing was happening. The children of Israel were getting ready to bring the Ark of the Covenant back to Jerusalem. And you'll remember the story where David was out and he was dancing before the Lord. And the Bible tells us that he took off his royal robes and he laid them aside. And he was dancing before the Lord. His wife Micah wasn't too happy about it. But the Bible tells us in Psalm 24, in verse 3, it is a reminder of who God is and what God did for David. Verse 10, who is the King of glory, Yahweh of hosts. He is the King of glory. Again, we see this name, Lord Sabaoth. So remember, when David first said this before Goliath, and you know the story of how David took the stone and he put the stone in the sling and he swung it around and he threw the stone and it hit Goliath right in the forehead. And David was smart. He brought five stones because Goliath had brothers. He had four other brothers. So David was prepared. He was prepared in case the other brothers were to come and attack. And he said, you know what? Not only can God take care of Goliath, but he can take care of his four brothers as well. And I'm going to be prepared just in case that happens. And then that day, he showed the nation of Israel that the battle belongs to the Lord, not to Saul, not to the Philistines, but to the Lord. And he showed all of Israel that day. But it was going to take him over 10 years, I think it was 15 years, from that moment until he would be crowned king of Israel. And now, fast forward even a little bit past that, when the Ark of the Covenant is being restored to Israel, David writes these words. He writes that God is the Lord Sabaoth. He is the captain of the Lord of hosts. That means he's in charge, not me. And then David says this. He asks the question, who is the King of glory? Yahweh, Lord Sabaoth. Yahweh of hosts, he is the King of glory. Do you realize what he's saying here? He's saying it's not about King David. It's about King Jesus. It's not about me. It's about him. You know the difference between ministries and churches and individuals that are on fire for the Lord and are doing something amazing for the Lord? The difference is it's not about the person doing it. It's about the person that they are serving. It's about God having the honor and him having the glory for everything that he does. He is the King of glory. David shows this and he depicts this. Now, it's rather interesting. Turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 18 and verse 6. Looks like I'm only going to get through one point today. Well, I finish at 12. Is that right? I'm supposed to finish at 12? Yes? Yes, sir? Okay. All right. I'll finish at 12. Don't worry. Yeah. Pastor Walsh, wait a minute. He's got two more points here. He's only finishing his one point. I'll just come back two more times. That's right. But turn with me, if you will, to the Gospel of John, because I want you, this is fascinating. We'll finish this one point anyway. This is fascinating because, John chapter 18, verse 6. In almost every name of God that's in the Old Testament is repeated in the New Testament. So I'm just real quickly, I'm going to read just a few verses and we'll wrap it up. John 18:6, we see Jesus as he's getting ready to be taken away to be crucified. And this is what it says. As soon as they had said to him, "I am he," they went backward and fell to the ground. There's an old game where they would have what was called a super power punch. And they would take their fists and they would pound it on the ground and everyone on the screen would fall over. This is essentially what happened here. But it was through the power of the Lord Jesus' words. You see, although Jesus, in God, 100% God, 100% man, he's standing there, he was still the captain of the Lord of hosts. And so when they said, "Who are you looking for?" And he said, "I am he," Jesus. What did he say? "I am he." He was saying, "I am." I wonder if he said, "Yahweh." Or I wonder if they put those two things together. I don't know. It wasn't there. But the Bible tells us in Matthew 26, just listen as I read because we're running out of time. Matthew 26, 53, this is what Jesus said to Peter. Remember, Jesus is still a picture and is the captain of the Lord of hosts. He says this to Peter, "Thinkest that I could not now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels?" We sing that song. He could have called 10,000 angels. Guess what? I love that song, by the way. But it's incorrect. Theologically, do you know how many 12,000 legions of angels are? 72 to 77,000 angels. That's what we really should sing. And what did just one angel do? One angel wiped out an entire army. And he says, "I could call down 72,000, 12 legions of angels." Why could he do that? Because he is captain of the Lord of hosts. Now, I just want to wrap this up because we're almost out of time. What does that mean for you and me? What does that mean for you and me? He wants you to do what Joshua did. He wants you to do what David did. He wants you to fall down on your feet and take off your sandals and say, "You are the captain of the Lord of hosts. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins so that you could be enlisted into his army." We used to sing that song, "I may never march in the infantry, ride in the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zoom all the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's army." Can you say that today? Have you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? And maybe you're here today and you say, "Well, I've already taken care of that. I did that, Jason, when I was 5 years old in Sunday school 100 years ago, or at least it seems like 100 years ago. Then my next question would be, how are you waging your war? How are you waging your war? Are you fighting the good fight of the faith? Are you laying hold on eternal life? Are you telling others about Christ? Are you living a life worthy of that of a Christian and of following Christ? I'll give you my other 2 points, but I'll just give you the title, just a teaser, I guess. The second one is, the Lord is our banner. And the third one is, the Lord is our strength. The Lord is our banner. As we get ready to celebrate Independence Day, our family is actually planning on going to Fort McHenry. And I'm reminded of the banner at Fort McHenry. Now, I was told, and I'm gonna go ahead and pull this out here. I was told that there was an extra large flag that flew at Fort McHenry. And the flag is a reminder to me. Oh, actually, we have one right over there. But I'll pull this one out because Josh, my son Joseph, gave it to me today. And I want him to know that I appreciate him. But they said that there was an extra large flag at Fort McHenry, and that as that flag was up there, that they would shoot specifically at the flag. Now, according to tradition, when the flag pole broke because of a cannonball, other men would go up and they would hold up the flag, knowing that their fate would be to die. Now, this is historically accurate, is that there was over 1,500 cannonballs shot at Fort McHenry. But of course, we have that song, "O Say Can You See by the Dawn's Early Light." Francis Scott Key was wondering, is the flag still waving? The Bible says that the Lord is our banner, Jehovah Nissi. And that story of the Lord Jesus being our banner, very interesting, because that was first said by Moses when he fought the Amalekites. And what did you remember the story? When he held up his hands, they would win. But when he would drop his hands, they would lose. Over in 1 Timothy, Paul says, "I would that men everywhere would lift up holy hands." It's a picture of prayer. And the Lord is our banner. How should you be known as a Christian? If you know Christ as your Savior, you should be known by your prayer life. How much time do you spend praying? No man is greater than their prayer life. God wants us to pray to Him and have that relationship, and He wants it to be a banner in our lives. Now, what we normally do as a banner is we normally wear shirts like this. And we'll wear shirts like this as our banner. And what is it? It's a silent witness. Hey, when I'm on the basketball court or something else, it's a silent witness of what? I belong to Jesus. Sometimes we have bumper car stickers that say things like, you know, save money on gas, walk with Jesus. My son has that bumper sticker on his car. And we have other little things like that that remind us, though, what do we want to do, though? We're going to make sure that we don't wear the shirt, but then live an unchristian life or have a bumper sticker and drive like a crazy person. We need to have that testimony, that true testimony, that people can see Christ in us. And then finally, the Lord is our Uzi. Now, that's spelled different. The Lord is my strength. That is spelled different than the Uzi gun. There is one less Z in the Uzi gun. However, the word Uzi and Jehovah Uzi is the same, has the same pronunciation. I find it interesting that the Uzi gun can shoot out 1,500 rounds in less than a minute. And what does it mean? The Lord is our strength. God wants us to know that He is our strength, that we can depend upon Him. What are the three things in the battle that you need? You need the captain. The Lord is our Jehovah Sabaoth. And then He's our banner, which next time I come, I'll have to just talk on that one because there's a lot I didn't say. And then thirdly, the Lord is our strength. Pastor, I'll turn it back over to you.
I don't know about all of you, but I feel like we've been cheated out of those other 2 points. I think we're going to have him come back another time to finish those 2 points for us. But anyway, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful and thankful for this time when we can worship You and praise You. I thank You for Jason, for this message, and I pray that Your Holy Spirit would apply it to our hearts and give us motivation to go out in Your power and in Your strength, because the battle belongs to You. And I thank You for this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Please turn to our final hymn, and this is hymn number 164. Let's stand as we sing together, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," number 164. Please bow for the benediction. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.